بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our session number 65, level 3 fiqh, Arabic lessons in fiqh, level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today we're going to continue with the subject that we started last week from the kitab Al-Hajj, Ma'adhurat Al-Ihram, the things which are prohibited while in the state of Ihram for Hajj or Umrah. Today, inshallah, we're going to read from the Fiqh al-Ibadat, our secondary source, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, pages 347 to 352. As you can see, it is a lengthy reading. But before we read that, we want to go back to our original textbook. Wa alaykum salam. We want to go back to the original textbook and finish what we left off, because we didn't finish reading from the textbook last week. Okay, so we started on page 80 of our textbook, Yani Arabic Lessons in Fiqh Level 3 from the Islamic University of Medina. And we said that on the bottom of the page, the topic is Arkan al-Hajj. We said the Arkan al-Hajj, I'm sorry, Arkan al-Hajj, we're way past that. On page 81, Mahdurat al-Ihram. The Mahdurat al-Ihram, wa hukmu man irtakaba shay'an minha. And the ruling concerning the one who violates or breaks, yani commits any of these, yani prohibited things. And then we listed the Mahdurat of Ihram as being 9. According to our textbook. Somebody tell me one of them. 9. 1? Huh? Cutting, removing hair from the head. No. Or any part of the body. Clipping the nails. Huh? Wearing clothing that are made to fit the members of the body. Of sexual intercourse and what leads up to it. Anything else? Huh? Mathathib. Yani touching, yani sweet smelling fragrance. Men covering the head with something directly on the head, like a hat, kufi, turban. Khadl al-Sayyid al-Barr. Hunting or killing the land animal, land game. Marriage contracts, proposals. Mubashara. Yani having contact with the women, direct physical contact, less than sexual relations.
Wearing shoes that cover the ankle.
Wearing shoes that cover the ankle. Okay, so I mean that one requires some discussion, right? But actually, yani that comes under discussion of lubs al-makhit, yani wearing the clothing that's fit to meet the members of the parts of the body, like a shirt or pants leg or shoes or hood or something like that, comes under that. But there's some discussion about that, yani that we're gonna see today, inshallah. What else? I think that was all that we had from this book. That's all that we had. The first one was removing hair. Second one was clipping the nails. The third one was covering the head for men. Huh?
Yeah, except the woman.
Covering the hair for men, not for women. Wearing the machit, the things that are sewn to fit, yani the parts of the body. That's for men, not women. Touching or using any kind of sweet smelling scent, perfume. Killing the land, animals, hunting them, and so on. Making a marriage contract. Somebody said mubashara. Somebody said it. Now, marriage contract and making a proposal. Sexual intercourse and mubashara. Okay, these are what we discussed last week. Last week we talked about the first few of them. We stopped at on the sixth one. We were almost through the end of the sixth one. That is Qatlu As-Sayyid Al-Barri. And we discussed most of it. And then we were at the last end of it, last point. I think I was reading the ayat. I think I finished reading it, but I don't know if we got it good. In any case, basically what it said in point number 6 that we covered last week. We were supposed to be starting 7, right?
No, I
think I was at the end of it, but the van came and we didn't get a chance to... Huh? You walked it. Okay, so in any case, to summarize the last point, yani... and I'm with you. Yani, killing the land animals or hunting them, and this is based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah 95. We're going to look at the whole of this ayat where Allah says, O you who believe, do not kill the sayd, yani the land animals, the game, while you are in the state of ihram. And Allah said in another ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the following ayat 96, yani it is prohibited for you, yani the land game while you're in a state of ihram. So whoever kills the land game while he's in ihram, then he has to pay a compensation that is yani an animal from the domesticated animals, like a camel or a cow or a sheep or a goat or whatever, yani that is like the animal, the game that he has hunted, that which is equal to it, yani judged by two just judges. Or yani its value can be estimated, and a person can buy food that's equal to it in value to feed the poor and the haram, or he can fast for every poor person yani one day. They also mention the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah that we mentioned, 95, to the end of it, whoever kills it, yani the land game from amongst you, intentionally. And this is important, the note of the word intentionally, we're going to come back to it later on. Whoever kills the animal intentionally, not accidentally, mistakenly. Naam. Yes, in the ayah, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ should be, instead of تَعْمَبُوتَ, it should be regular ha. وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا. Okay, then the penalty for such is that that person has to kill, yani, or offer sacrifice of the domesticated animals, yani, this to be decided and judged by two just judges from amongst you, a sacrificial animal that should be sent to the Kaaba, or if that is not possible, then the kafara, expiation, is feeding the poor, or what is equal to that in fasting. The details of this we're going to talk about later, so that the person will know the seriousness of the matter that they have engaged in killing the land game. May Allah, yani, pardon, Allah's pardon, whatever it was in the past, and whoever returns to this, then Allah will take retribution against them. Indeed, Allah is mighty, the one who possesses any stern retribution. Okay, that's the end of point number 6 that we did at the end of the class last week. This is just to refresh our memory. Point number 7 of the 9 points mentioned in our textbook. And by the way, the reason why we are emphasizing 9 points, because some scholars mention more or less some other things, yani besides what's mentioned here, or they explain them a little bit differently. Point number 7, وَأَمَّا النِّكَاحِ, as far as yani marrying, being from the mahdurat of ihram, while a person is in a state of ihram, right? Because otherwise, a person is not in a state of ihram, marrying is not haram, it is halal.
Marrying a mahram?
No. The person who is not in the state of ihram.
Sunnah.
It's sunnah at least, naam. It's sunnah at least. I mean, didn't the Prophet ﷺ tell the young people to marry? He ordered them to marry, unless you're not able to.
Type.
Huh?
What he said also to the three people, that the one who doesn't marry is not from
right. Naam, that's right. The three people, one of them said he'll yani pray all night, and one who fasts every day, and the other one said he will not marry. Prophet said, whoever doesn't marry, he's not from me. Yani, not whoever doesn't marry, he said whoever doesn't like my sunnah. Yani, my sunnah is that I marry. Amma nikah, yani, how do we know that nikah is from the prohibited things of the person in ihram? The hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la yankihu al-muhrimu, wa la yunkihu, yani al-muhrimu, wa la yakhtubu al-muhrimu. Yani al-muhrimu is not repeated in the hadith, understood, right? La yankihu, the meaning of it is, what? To marry. Yani a person in a muhram, he should not marry. He should not yani enter into a marriage. Wala yunkihu is not from nakaha, is from ankaha yunkihu. To give somebody a marriage. Yani yunkihu means for you to marry. Yunkihu means to give your daughter or your sister a marriage. Okay, that's prohibited, both of them. Wala yakhtubu yani a marriage proposal. Yani, don't make a proposal for marriage while you're in a state of ihram. So there are three things mentioned in this hadith. رواه الجماعة إلا البخاري. It's reported by the jama'a except Bukhari. Who is the jama'a except Bukhari?
Muslim.
Al-Nasai. Ibn Majah. Al-Tirmidhi. And Ahmed. Ahmed. Yani the jama'ah means the two sahih, Bukhari and Muslim, and the four sunan, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i. The six, and Imam Ahmed, seven. But he said al-jama'ah, except Bukhari. Bukhari didn't narrate this hadith. وليس للترمذي فيه. And also Tirmidhi is from the Jama'ah, but Tirmidhi in his narration doesn't have the words وَلَا يَخْتُبْ. وَلَا يَخْتُبْ is not in the narration of Tirmidhi, meaning that it's in the other يعني five, because they originally Al-Jama'ah is how many?
Seven.
Bukhari is excluded and Tirmidhi also doesn't have that wording, that means it's in the other five. يَخْتُبْ يعني خَطَبْ means to make a proposal for marriage. To propose, like a man, he goes to a brother and he says to him, I make a proposal to marry your daughter. You can't do that while you're in ihram. You can't get married, you can't give your sister in marriage, and you can't make a proposal to somebody. Yeah. Yaqtub. No. Khitba is the noun from khataba.
I thought it was kataba, yaqtub.
No, not kataba, no. Kha. Khataba. Nam. Nam? Okay, now. Alright, so then that's the end of what he said there. He mentions this hadith. Next point, number 8. وَأَمَّا الْجِمَاعَ. And this is the most severe of them all. Yani having sexual intercourse with your spouse. Yani a person having sexual intercourse with their spouse. The proof that this is from the things that are prohibited while you're in ihram is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث, that's it there, ولا فسوق ولا جدار في الحج. سورة البقرة, second surah, 197th ayat, that the Hajj, the pilgrimage, is in the well-known months. What are the well-known months? Huh? Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. The well-known months, Al-Hajj, huh?
Shawwal.
Hajj, the month of Hajj began after Ramadan, Shawwal. Then Dhul Qa'da, and then Dhul Hijjah. That's the ayat. The ayat, Al-Hajju Ashhur Ma'lumat. Hajj begins in the month of Shawwal. Yani a person can enter the state of Ihram for Hajj in the month of Shawwal, first of Shawwal. The first day after Ramadan begins the time of Hajj. Okay? The completion of it is going to take place in the month of Dhul Hijjah. But it begins in Shawwal. So, the point here in this ayah, the Hajj is in the Ma'lumat. Ashhur Ma'lumat. The well-known months. The 10th, 11th, and 12th months of the Hijri calendar. So, whoever, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ, whoever enters the state of Ihram with the intention of performing Hajj or Umrah, yani, in those months, starting with Shawwal, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا الْجِدَالُ فِي الْحَجِّ. These are three things that are prohibited while the person is in the state of Ihram. مَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ mean into the state of Ihram with the intention of performing Hajj. Whoever does that, فَلَا رَفَثَ. Rafath here, the meaning of it is sexual intercourse and what leads up to it. وَلَا فُسُوكَ means ma'asi, sins. وَلَا جِدَالَ يعني argumentation, disputation, arguing and disputing. This should not take place يعني while a person is in the state of Ihram for Hajj. This is from Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 197th ayah. Here, this is given, some details given concerning this point because of its importance. So whoever jama'a wa huwa muhrim, has sexual intercourse while they're in the state of Ihram, qabla at-tahallul al-awwal, يعني whoever has sexual intercourse before the first state of getting out of Ihram. Yani when is the first state of getting out of Ihram? When a person came from Arafat, went to Muzdalifah, spent the night in Muzdalifah, the next day they went to, after Muzdalifah, Mina, they threw the stones and made the sacrifice. Even before going to Mecca to make Tawaf and Sa'i, they came the first Tahallul. They are in the beginning state of getting out of Ihram. That means they are allowed to do certain things. For example, they do what? Cut their hair. They cut their hair. A person may cut their hair before they go to Mecca. Because what? That's the first state of getting out of Ihram. After the person makes their tawaf and sa'i, if it's necessary for them, depending on what kind of hajj they're making, then they're completely out of Ihram. Now everything is permissible. If a person has sexual intercourse, yani what? قبل تحلل الأول, before the first stage of getting out of Ihram, that's when they are يعني in this difficult situation. يعني ترتب على جماع أو جماعه ما يلي. If a person did this, then there are a number of affairs that are based upon it, that are a result of this. And he mentions the first thing, فساد الحج. يعني the حج became spoiled, invalid. خلاص, they don't have any حج. B, وجوب المضي في الحج الفاسد. يعني it's obligatory on them to continue in the performance of that حج that became invalid, that he spoiled. But they have to keep going. They didn't say, it became invalid, so I'm going home now. No, you have to finish the rest of the rites of Hajj, even though it's spoiled. Number three, al-qada fi al-'am al-muqbil. They have to make up for it in the following year. They have to come back again. Number four, al-fidya, expiation. Wa hiya badana. Here, badana means what? A camel. Not a sheep. أو ما قام مقامها كالبقرة, or that which takes its place that's equal to it, like a cow, or سبع شياه, or seven sheep, goats or lambs. The fidya is they have to sacrifice a camel, or what is equal to it, a cow, or seven small animals. And when I say small animals, I don't mean chickens, or roosters, or pigeons. Sheep, goat, lamb. Seven.
So this is
order. Huh? They have to do all of this. No, I'm saying they have to do these things that I mentioned. This is one. Oh, in this order. Well, I mean, the original rule is camel. But if not, if there's cow available in person, they can make a cow. Or they can slaughter seven sheep.
One cow,
one camel, or seven sheep. Yani, you mean, is this order mandatory? It doesn't appear as though it's mandatory. It does not appear as though it's mandatory. It doesn't appear as though that you don't have an option. It appears as though you do have an option. MashaAllah. Welcome, brother. Welcome, brother. If you can stay for a little while, sit with us. We will have some time with you, inshallah. If you are not in a hurry. Huh? Okay, come in and sit down, please. Come in. And you can participate with us a little bit, and then we'll meet you, inshallah. MashaAllah. Have a seat anywhere you like, wherever you feel comfortable. Make some room for him. What is your name, brother?
Gene.
Gene?
Gene.
Gene
August.
Gene August.
Gene.
From where, brother?
From Haiti.
From Haiti, MashaAllah. Okay, you're welcome, brother. You're welcome. Okay, so this... It doesn't appear as though the order is mandatory. Wallahu a'lam. In any case, the Shaykh goes. They go on to say, "فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ صَامَ عَشْرَةَ أَيَّامٍ ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةٌ إِذَا رَجَعَ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ." If they are not able to make the sacrifice, they don't have the means to, then that person must fast for 10 days, 3 days while they're in Hajj. And then complete the 7 days when they return home. And then, of course, the rest of it came, yani, that they have to come back and perform the Hajj in the following year. This ruling is a ruling that was ruled by a group from amongst the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. Wa minhum, from amongst them, who had this ruling, yani, meaning, that the fidya is a camel. If not available or whatever, if a person doesn't sacrifice a camel, then a cow or seven sheep. And this is a ruling from a group from amongst Sahaba. From amongst them is Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Wa ibnuhu, yani Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. Wa ibn Abbas, yani Abdul ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Wa Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Wa Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the details of this we're going to talk about from Sheikh Uthaymeen, okay? The book here has given us the basic summary of the affair, right? What this makes us to know, if nothing else, it makes us to know the severity, the seriousness of a person having sexual relations with their spouse while they're in a state of ihram. The matter is very serious. And the first thing, the Hajj is spoiled. The second thing, they have to continue and complete the rest of the rites of Hajj until it's over. The third thing, they have to come back next year and do the Hajj from the beginning, whole thing. And the fourth thing is that they have to make the expiation, which is sacrificing a camel. Point number nine. This discussion, it depends, Allahu A'lam, and as it normally is, or whether or not they were both in agreement with this. Maybe a man can force his wife to do something against her will. She is not responsible for what she's forced to do, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah has been pardoned by Allah from what? Whatever they did out of mistake or forgetfulness or muqrun alayhi, compelled to do. The person is not responsible for what they're compelled to do. Last point that they mention is al-mubashara. Al-mubashara, yani, means what? It means that the yani sexual contact, yani meaning, yani with shahwa, a person has sexual desire, they're hugging, kissing, whatever, with the spouse, yani while they're in a state of ihram. Everything that a person does, yani, that is less than actual sexual intercourse. That's what we mean by al-mubashara. This is based on the saying of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا رَفَثَ, that's the point there, وَلَا فُسُوكَ وَلَا جِدَالُ فِي الْحَجِ, there should be no sexual activity, sexual intercourse or whatever leads up to it, yani while the person is in the state of ihram, nor any kind of acts of sin, of disobedience, fusuq, nor arguing and disputing. Here they defined الرَّفَثُ يَشْمَلُ الْجِمَاءَ وَالْمُبَاشَرَةِ فِي مَا دُونَ يعني غير الفرج الفرجي يعني meaning that الرَّفَث in this ayat refers, includes sexual intercourse, actual sexual intercourse, as well as المباشرة, having sexual contact, يعني with desire, with one's spouse, any type of مباشرة, يعني direct contact, that is less than actual sexual intercourse. Everything that's less than that, while a person is in ihram. The last point that is mentioned in our textbook concerning the mahdurat of ihram is the hukm. What is the ruling concerning the one who commits any of these acts, who violates any of these prohibited things? يعني محظورا من محظورات الإحرام. فعل المحظورات السابقة له ثلاثة حالات. يعني the person who commits any of these prohibited acts that have been mentioned, nine of them, then he has three possible conditions. حالات. الأولى, الحالة الأولى, أن يفعل المحظور بلا عذر ولا حاجة. That a person does this act, this violation, he has no legal excuse, nor any need to do so. There's no reason for them to do it. They just did it, and they didn't have like respect for the law. فَهَذَا آثِمٌ وَعَلَيْهِ الْفِدْيَةِ. This person has against them the sin of disobedience to Allah, yani without having any other and no haja, and also the fidya, yani the expiation, yani the sacrifice of a camel. That's the first condition. The person who commits one of these acts without any excuse or any need, then he has sin against him, and also yani the expiation of the sacrifice of a camel. The second condition, أن يفعل المحظور لحاجة إلى ذلك فله فعل المحظور وعليه فديته. Yani the person who commits this prohibited act due to a need to do so. Person has a need to do so, like the one that we mentioned last week, who had the lice in his hair. He had to cut his hair because this is horrible, right? So he had a need to do so. That person who has a need to do so, he doesn't intentionally violate the law. So this person, he, yani, has to pay the expiation. He has to fulfill the expiation, the fidya. But there's no sin against him, because they did it for need. So there's no sin, but that person who cut the hair, guess what? They still have to do the expiation. But the expiation for sexual intercourse is one thing. Expiation, yani the fidya for other things are different. It's not all the same. So don't imagine that we're talking here about sacrificing a camel. We're talking about a different expiation. A sheep. Naam.
What is a person that the deepest feels for marital relationship that they had the need to do so?
You mean that's the excuse that they gave?
Yeah, they had the need to do so. So in that case, are they going to fall in the second
category? No. The need means that a person actually has a real need. Yani, and a person, that's a different subject. That's yani specific to every individual, right? A person may say, I have a need to have more than four wives. Four is not enough for me. Well, I mean, that is not yani mu'tabar. He may say he has a need, and maybe Allah knows best. Maybe he's abnormal. He really has four wives, not enough for him. Yani we can't say that he has a need, that now he's excused, so let him have five wives. Or six or seven, he might want 10. Right? No, that's different. The need means a person is compelled by real need or necessity. Like a person who's sick and they have to have medical treatment. So that medical treatment requires them doing something. They have a need to do that. Okay? Not that they just want to do it. He has a need? No, he just wants to do that. That's just his desire. Out of control. Second condition, right, is the person who has a need. That person, there's no fidya. There is a fidya, but there's no sin. No sin. Third condition, Shaykh Uthaymeen explains this in a greater detail. But anyway, this is the basic format. Third condition, أَنْ يَفْعَلَ الْمَحْذُورُ وَهُوَ مَعْذُورُ Yani the person commits the prohibited act, but he has a udhr, a legitimate sharia excuse. What is his ma'adur? Why is he excused? He's excused because he was jahil. He didn't know the law. Or he was nasi. He forgot. Or he was mukrah. Compelled. فَلَا إِثْمْ عَلَيْهِ There's no sin upon him. وَهَلْ عَلَيْهِ فِدْيَةً But is there the fidya, expiation? This is the mahal khilaf bain al ulama. Scholars differ about this. والصحيح إن شاء الله أنه لا شيء عليه. يعني their view is that what is correct is that there's no fidya upon him. The person who was what? Jahil. Or the person who was nasi or the person who was mukra. Okay? So the person who didn't know and the person who forgot did something due to forgetfulness, then we'll have some discussion about this in detail from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. Or the person who is compelled, then they're excused. And the evidence is both from the Quran and from the Sunnah that the person who did something mistakenly, forgetfully, out of ignorance, due to compulsion, that they are, yani there's no sin against them, and there's no punishment, yani the fidya in this particular case. This is the end of what we had in our textbook. We don't have a lot of time, but we are going to take advantage of this time and start reading what Shaykh Uthaymeen said. Here, and he gives a lot of details, Jazakallah khair, ya Mustafa. Sheikh gives a lot of details that are extremely important and beneficial. If a person performed Hajj, yani you'll see the importance of this. If a person didn't perform Hajj, then you will one day, inshallah, perform Hajj and you will realize the importance of what the Sheikh has explained here. And again, I'm just going to say that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, yani he is the faqih of this era. There's no doubt about it that when he talks about fiqh, you're going to hear from him what you didn't hear from anybody else. That's a fact. Okay, we're going to read from Fiqh al-Ibadat. Fiqh al-Ibadat by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Fatawa al-Hajj. Yani page 347, as I mentioned in the homework assignment. Mahdurat al-Ihram. The prohibited things while a person is in a state of Ihram. And the pages that we're reading from 347 to 352... And then the Shaykh goes on from 353 to 356. Obviously, we're not going to be able to read all of that. We're going to read as much as possible. The question is question number 247. Ya Fadilat al-Shaykh, ma hiya mahdurat al-ihram? What are the things that are prohibited in ihram? The answer the Shaykh says, mahdurat al-ihram hiya mamnu'at. The first thing he does is tell us what is mahdurat. He explains to us what is mahdurat. Mamnu'at. The things that are mamnu'a, things that are prohibited. بِسَبَبِ الْإِحْرَام Things that are prohibited due to being in ihram. The mahdurat are not everything that's prohibited. But specifically, mahdurat here means the things that are prohibited because you're in ihram. Some of those things are lawful things, but because you're in ihram, they're prohibited. That's what we mean by mahdurat al-ihram. Things that are prohibited because you're in the state of ihram. Shaykh goes further to explain. Yani, what is mahdurat al-ihram? Al-muharramat. The things that are muharram, that are haram, التي سببها الإحرام. يعني they are haram because of the person being in a state of ihram. And that is, وذلك أن المحرمات نوعان. يعني prohibited things are of two types. Prohibited things are of two types. What are the two types? Anybody know? Did anybody preview this lesson? You have to preview the lesson, please.
Prohibited at a certain time and the prohibition that is general.
Close. Prohibited at a certain time and prohibition that is general. That's almost the meaning of it. The Shaykh, he says that what? The thing that's prohibited in Ihram and in Hil. Yani, the thing that's prohibited, the first type, is the thing that's prohibited when you're Ihram, and it's also prohibited when you're not in Ihram. And the second type is the one that we're talking about here, the one that's prohibited in Ihram. Okay, so this is a benefit, fa'idah, that the Shaykh made us know. That prohibited things are two types. In reference to Hajj, the things that are prohibited all the time, when you're in Ihram or not in Ihram. And the things that are, second type is the things that are only prohibited when you're in Ihram. So the Shaykh says, this is pointed to in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, yani that we read already, second surah, 197th ayat, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِ. Whoever enters the state of Ihram for the performance of Hajj, then there should be no sexual activities, sexual intercourse, or that which leads up to it. And no sinning, disobedience to Allah of any type. Yani, whether it's related to Ihram or not Ihram, there should be no sinning of any type. وَلَا جِدَالَ, and no arguing and disputing in Hajj. And here, yani, we should note that there's no arguing or disputing while a person is in state of Ihram, except arguing for the sake of Allah, enjoining the good, forbidding the wrong, and clarifying the truth, which is obligatory, even if you're in Ihram. And if somebody comes, telling the people, leading them astray, do this, do that, do the other, somebody has to stop them and say, no, that's wrong. They say, what are you talking about? You know what you're talking about? We're going to engage this. We're not going to just say, oh, can't argue and hide. No, we're going to prove that this person is wrong, and we're going to correct that and make clear what is right. Okay? No arguing, disputing while you're in the state of Ihram. The Shaykh says here, كَلِمَةُ فُسُوق in this ayat, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ. Fusuq is general, including whatever is fisk, or sinful, fihi بِسَبَبِ الْإِحْرَامِ وَغَيْرِهِ. Yani meaning, the fisk here means whatever is, yani, sinful. Whether it is sinful because you're in the state of Ihram, it's prohibited, or is sinful even if you're not in the state of Ihram. Fusuq includes both of them. So the Shaykh is saying here what? Some things are prohibited because you're in Ihram, and some things are prohibited whether you're in Ihram or not in Ihram. Yani, fusuq, fisk, disobedience to Allah is prohibited whether you're in Ihram or not in Ihram. The second type of the Muharramat is khasatun sababuha al-ihram. Yani, that the prohibited things that are particular, specific, due to a person being in Ihram. So if a person, إِذَا تَلَبَّسَ الْإِنسَانِ بِالْإِحْرَامِ فَإِنَّهَا تُحْرَمُ عَلَيْهِ وَتُحَلُّ لَهُ فِي حَالْ وَالْحِلِ. Yani, so if a person is entering, yani that which is specific to Ihram, if a person enters the state of Ihram, فَإِنَّهَا تُحْرَمْ عَلَيْهِ, then that thing, when he's in the state of Ihram, is haram for him. But it is lawful for him when he's out of the state of Ihram. Okay, that's the second type of Muharram thing. Yani, it's only prohibited when you're in Ihram. It's not prohibited when you're out of Ihram. So these are two types of Muharramat. Shaykh brought this first faida. Second thing he says, مِنَ الْمَحْذُرَاتِ الْإِحْرَامِ. Now he begins to list the mahdurat of Ihram. And what does he start with first? Huh? Sexual intercourse. Yani, we just got finished reading the list of things in mahdurat. But when do we come to jima? Near the end. Shaykh began with it first. Why he began with it first? It's the most severe, the most important, the most consequential. The most important one you need to know about is this one. If you fell into the others, that's bad, but this one right here is the one you better make sure that you don't try to claim you have a need. Like Ibrahim's neighbor.
The young people, right?
The young people. Yeah. Right. Shaykh, he says, the mahdurat, the first of them is jima', sexual intercourse. وَهُوَ شَدُّ الْمَحْضُرَةِ, it's the most severe of them. Ithman, in terms of sin, is the greatest sin of the mahdurat of Ihram. وَآذَمُهَا أَثَرًا, and it has the greatest effect or consequence on the person who engages in it. Look at what he's going to be subjected to. And the evidence of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we already read several times, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ, then فَلَا رَفَثَ, yani means sexual intercourse. And the Shaykh says, إِنَّ رَفَثْ, here it means jima' وَمُقَدَّمَاتُهُ, it means sexual intercourse and everything that leads up to it. So if a person fell into sexual intercourse قبل تحلل الأول, يعني before the first state of being freed from ihram in Hajj, يعني before they came back to Mina from Arafat and Muzdalifa, before they threw the stones and made their sacrifice, if they had sexual intercourse before that time, then يترتب عليه أمور خمسة, then there are five things that are the consequence of that. The first of them is sin, there is a sin against him. The second of that is fasad and nusuk, his rights of Hajj are spoiled or became invalid. The third of them is wujub al-istimrar fihi, that he's obligated to continue with the rest of the rites of Hajj after that. He's still got to go and throw the stones and make the sacrifice and go to Tawaf and Sa'i and stay in Mina. He got to do all of that still. The fourth of them is wujub fidya, that he's obligated to make the expiation for the sin that he committed of violating this mahdurat of ihram. And that is a camel that is slaughtered or sacrificed, وَيُفَرِّقُهَا عَلَى الْفُقَهَا, and distributed all of it to the poor. He can't eat one bit of it. And the fifth of them is wujub al-qadha min am al-qadim or al-muqbil, that is obligatory upon him to make up for that hajj in the following year.
In the following year or in the following year?
No. In the following year.
So he has to come.
Look, this shows the severity of the consequence that should be sufficient for any sane person to know that this is not even something to think about. This, as the mayor Koch, that khabif, put up signs in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, about parking, he put up a sign, don't even think about it. That was a long time ago. Now, don't even think about it as on all streets, right? Because they got them trucks that just come behind you and clip right on you. They don't have to tie it and wrap it or nothing. It just clips on your car and takes it away. Yalla. Five things. Five things. And he has to make it in the following year. If he doesn't, he's sinful again. He's further sinful.
Yeah,
that's why. So a person has to think about that. Before you kill somebody who's innocent, you have to think about the consequences. Yeah, I'm not able to do life in prison. I'm not able to be executed. That's your problem. You should have thought about it before you kill somebody. Yani, you're not able, that's your problem. You know the consequence, and you did it. So now you have to suffer the consequences. So he doesn't get excused because he said, I spent all my money. I'm not in the next year or years. I'm not going to never make hajj because I'm never going to have that money again. That's your problem. You answer to Allah Yawm Qiyamah. No, the matter is very serious. I mean, it's just that it's serious. It's just that serious. Yani, it could easily have been that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have made clear to us that a person, yani, they have to come back and make hajj again if they're able to. But he didn't say if they're able to. He said, wujub al-qadha fil am al-qadim. Al-am al-muqbil. It's crystal clear. That means you have to come back the next year. If you're not able to, that's your problem. Anyway, we're up against time right now. The Shaykh, I just want to take the second point that he mentions after jima'ah. It's connected directly to it. He said, min mahdurat also mubashara bi shahwatin. Yani having direct contact with sexual desire. Like, and he said, having contact with sexual desire, wa taqbil, kissing, wa nadhar bi shahwa, even looking with sexual desire. كل ما كان من مقدمات الجماع, everything that is from the things that lead up to sexual intercourse, and that is because لأن هذه المقدمات تفضي إلى الجماع, because these things lead a person to commit sexual intercourse. Yani, if a person is allowed to just look with sexual desire, that's likely to lead to something. All that's prohibited. Kissing, touching, hugging, even looking with sexual desire, which any of those things might lead to a person falling into the first of them, that is al-jima'ah. These are two of the prohibited things, yani, while a person is in state of ihram. After that, the Shaykh goes on to mention, yani, several more things. His list goes past 9 up to, anybody know how many? 11. 11.